singing like, oh, it's got you feeling right. Oh, it's got you feeling like.
So welcome to the Level 10 Podcast. We got Shabam here. He's one of my friends from the Hookah Restaurant. We play board games together. So welcome, Shabam, to the show. And tell me, just let the audience know who you are, man. Let's welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, thanks, Brian, for doing this. Amazing initiative to kind of have individuals come up with the story. So thanks a lot, and it's a pleasure being here. So, yeah, I guess I'll just start off by talking a little bit about myself, my background. So my name is Shabam. I was born in India, and I was 3 months old, and then my family decided to move to Thailand, and so that was kind of triggered from the family business. My dad has, currently still does, been in business in jewelry for the last 25 years, and so he was initially in Germany, kind of starting his own business, in and out, learning more about the jewelry side, and then he realized, hey, you know, we have this great opportunity to be in Thailand. So yeah, so 3 months old, didn't really have a choice, and yeah, moved to Thailand where I was, I grew up for 18 years of my life, went to middle school, high school, into a Christian high school actually. So it was really nice because coming from a Hinduism background, it was really nice to kind of see the different cultures interacting from people from about different religions. So really nice to kind of see how Christianity has evolved and how, you know, that how it's impacted people across globally. So yeah, so went to high school in a Christian high school, and yeah, that's kind of my experience in Thailand.
So
yeah,
what was it like going from like an Indian culture to a Thai culture? Like, that's like you speak Thai fluently, right?
Yes, I do. So when I was in high school, we were required to take Thai as one of the elective language, because you know you got to learn Thai to be able to interact day in, day out. So yeah, eventually I just learned to speak with Thai local people, and it's kind of like a survival thing, right? In order to be in that country, you gotta speak the language. So yeah, I mean, you know, even though I was in Thailand, my Indian culture was really something that my parents always, not forced upon, but really encouraged me to stay in touch with my origins. So it was definitely a challenge being in a different country, but still coming from an Indian origin. But yeah, my immediate family is in Thailand, and my rest of the relatives are still in India.
Wow, so how many siblings do you have?
I actually have an elder brother.
Okay.
He's 5 years older to me. He's successfully managed my dad's business, so he's kind of taken over, very entrepreneurial mindset. So, you know, it's been a pleasure. It's been a very, it's been great to have someone really shadow me and provide words of wisdom in terms of the learnings he's taken, especially the fact that we have 5 years gap. You know, when I was transitioning into high school, he knows exactly what I would be going through. So he's always kind of taking care of my back, being supportive, helping me out. And so, yeah, we're even till date, we, you know, have a great relationship, sharing our experiences, and we kind of like back off each other, you know.
Yeah,
we support each other in a great ways.
So your dad does the jewelry business. Does your mom do that as well, or is it kind of?
No, she's housewife.
Oh,
so
wow.
She does help out the family with business, but primarily she wants to take care of her kids and, you know, kind of take care of the house stuff.
Yeah, she doesn't have to. She doesn't have to work. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So in the jewelry business, I'd imagine that's a cutthroat business. But like, do you guys like have an online store, or do you sell primarily to like distributors? Like, how's that work?
Yeah, so we're primarily in wholesale business, so we don't have stores, we don't work around with a couple of hundreds of dollars here and there.
Right.
We mine our stones, and then we produce jewelry to sell it to wholesale companies.
That's fascinating.
We have clients globally, US companies. Majority of our business still runs in India and Thailand.
Yeah.
But now, given the global perspective of how the industry is evolved, people have really started to take stabs at different countries and try to expand the company globally. And that's one of the initiatives that, you know, my brother has done, because jewelry business in general is a pretty old school game.
Right.
The way my dad used to evolve and run the business has been extremely difficult, the way my brother does. So there's always conflicts, but you know, it's making sure that you're moving to a direction that the industry's evolving.
Right. Sounds like your dad was really adaptive. He could move from India to Germany and then go to Thailand. So he didn't care about location. Basically, a backpack and in a dream, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he didn't really have much commitment. You know, we were very young, so he spent a lot of his years trying to set a foundation for us where, you know, we wouldn't have to struggle for every penny, every dollar we make.
That's awesome.
So he pretty much took a lot of the struggle initially. So when we would settle down in Thailand, it would be much easier for us to kind of have a much easier lives than what he's got. So really appreciate that.
And Thailand's beautiful. I got engaged in southern Thailand, so I don't know what part of Thailand you're from, but like I love the street food and all that kind of stuff. So what would be like one of your favorite dishes in Thailand?
I mean, street food's amazing. You know, you can't really go wrong. Thailand is predominantly seafood oriented, so a lot of seafood. But yeah, I mean, their pad thai, you know, as it's global, you know. Even in Kansas, we have great locations here. Not trying to advertise restaurants, but you know, if you're around the town, if you're in Kansas and you're around the town, we should definitely check out Thai Place. It's got multiple awards, great location, great staff. The management is locally from Thailand, so. Yeah. A lot of the food, you know, is originated from there. So
yeah, you're gonna get people lots of hits there. Neither of us work for Thai Place, but it's legit. Like,
yeah,
it was so good.
Yeah, that's the best you got here. But yeah, I mean, Thai food is amazing.
It's so good. So what do you miss in terms of Indian food? Like, you said you cooked earlier today. You made some curry, but like, what do you miss the most from your part of India?
Honestly, growing up, I ate a lot of Indian food, but when I guess what I really miss about more than just the food, I think, is just adapting into a different environment and culture. You know, being away from family, and I know, obviously, I'll give you more details in terms of where, you know, where I'm located right now and how I position myself here in America. But it was a pretty interesting transition, and that's something that my parents have been very supportive for me to actually come here. So more than that, big picture, it's about adapting to a different environment.
So you were 18, 17, graduating high school, thinking about the future, probably not doing the jewelry business because your brother's doing that. So what was the thought process for you to go, hey, I'll pick up, you know, to just throw like a dart on the map and say I'm going to America? Or what was that process for you?
So yeah, that's a good question. So the trigger point was when I was in high school, I was extremely athletic. I would only play sports.
Oh, yeah.
I was in varsity basketball, volleyball, soccer, pretty much all in into sports, right? And so I actually competed nationally for the Thailand's national cricket team as well for a couple of years. And so the trigger point was, did I want to continue that? Right? Do I want to pursue cricket as my career? And at that point of time, you know, looking back 7 years ago, Thailand was really not up and coming in terms of the opportunities to compete nationally. So it was kind of a decision for myself, but also my family in terms of what do I want to do. So academically, I was never one of the most brightest students, but I knew I wanted to change that. I wanted to be an environment, indulge myself in an environment where I could intellectually challenge myself. And so when I started thinking about where I would be going for college, you know, one of my close family friend's son actually went to Drexel University in Philadelphia. So I just had a conversation with their family, talked about his learnings, what he learned from it. And then the next thing you know, I applied to Drexel and yeah, I made the move. I just wanted to kind of step outside my comfort zone, be away, not primarily be away from home, but just be independent because that's something I never had.
Yeah.
So I made the decision. It was something, it was a decision by myself with the support of my family. They didn't want me to go really far away. My first choice was Hong Kong and Singapore, but you know, I got this great opportunity to come to Drexel, full scholarship.
Wow.
And so I was like, great, I'll take a stab at this.
Yeah.
And so here I am.
That's awesome. Good for you, man. Did you go on a sports scholarship or did you just go through academic?
No, so I learned it the hard way that America is extremely competitive in terms of sports, especially in the college environment. So
right. When
I came to America, I was like, great, like, you know, I'll try out for the basketball team. I'll try out for the basketball team, the baseball team. And so funny enough, when I went for those tryouts, it was a reality check.
Oh, wow.
That I'm actually not as great as I kind of expected myself.
Wow.
Maybe in Thailand I was great, but now you're competing with people who've played sports all their lives in a very competitive environment such as America. So my main focus was academics. And so when I came to Drexel, I studied finance and analytics. And that's where I kind of got myself into the finance world, got a lot of internships in the banking world. primarily in investment banking and investment management, and really learned a lot about, you know, the building relationships, the corporate environment, things along those lines. And yeah, that's where I kind of landed my first job after that.
Wow. So how did you cope then, not having the support of your brother or your dad in the house all the time, kind of coming and hanging out with people you'd normally hang out with in Thailand? How did you cope relationally with going to a completely new culture? Obviously, America is very competitive. We also have our own way of thinking. You know, we're very independent.
Absolutely.
We don't really have a lot of, like, we do have niches of groups. Like, in Philadelphia, there's, like, boroughs, if you will. But, like, how did you, like, go to that?
Well, I think the biggest thing was the fact that it was my decision to come to America. I kind of had to live by it, regardless of the struggles I had to go through. Initially, my first year, I was extremely homesick. I had no relatives in America. I had no kind of support except for my family. And so they really encouraged me across my first year. And so what really helped me to adapt to this new environment was just meeting as many people as I could. I made great friend circle who was always there supporting me day in, day out, in terms of, and just finding people who have gone through the same mindset and the same experience before. So, you know, living in America, you have such great culture, you have people from across different countries, and so, you know, meeting those people and speaking and sharing your experience with them really helped, felt like home, because you could really relate to one another. And so, yeah, I think it was finding a great friend circle and people who could be supportive. And, you know, I was very dedicated and very committed to academics. So I was very occupied with, you know, my studies, which kind of kept me busy. So I didn't really have time to kind of think about these small things. But yeah, I think it's all about building the right people around yourself, surrounding with the right people who can carry you forward along with themselves.
Yeah, they call you up. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
How did you deal with, like, you seem pretty entrepreneurial. You seem kind of like your dad was an entrepreneur. Your brother is one as well, kind of reinventing the business. How did you cope with that in an environment like Drexel, where they're kind of training you to be an employee? They're kind of training you to go to the corporate world, which is great. And some people like that. But you seem to draw people around you that are very entrepreneurial. So how did you clash with that, but also encourage people? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I think for me, it was all about finding experiences, getting experiences that would build myself. So even though I did internships, my motive was not to get an actual corporate job, but it was to learn about the industries, learning about finance and how that works. So just, you know, experiences can go a long way in life, you know, having lived in different countries. I took those opportunities to learn as much as I could, learn not just from the people, but also just learning from the people from the smartest environment. And so, I think it was just surrounding myself with the right people, getting the right experiences, building myself intellectually, but also building the social aspect. Sorry about the noise. And just building the social personality of your individual.
That's awesome. So how did you transition to, like, Kansas City, kind of Missouri? Like, this is a small town compared to Philadelphia.
Yeah, so it was a very challenging time. You know, in my senior year, when I had these experiences, I started looking for, you know, full-time analyst roles. And so one of the biggest hurdles for an international student is to get an actual job offer, because a lot of companies require to sponsor you. And so requiring sponsorship not only takes manpower, but takes a lot of dollar amounts. And so, you know, it's a hefty investment on the company behalf. And so slowly I realized that the struggle is real. And so when I was recruiting, I had multiple offers, but they weren't really sponsoring for an actual corporate job. And so, you know, when I was recruiting, I was reached out by an individual who I'm currently working with on LinkedIn for an offer and opportunity here in Kansas. And so I was like, sure, let me take a stab at it. So I had a conversation. I went for my first interview, my second interview. They called me in an in-office interview for a super day. And yeah, I kind of fell in love with the management, the company.
Right.
And yeah, I kind of, you know, it was a blessing in disguise, because, you know, it was a struggle in my first couple of months trying to find a job, actually be able to survive in America,
right,
be able to stay here. And so this opportunity came by, and with the blink of an eye, you know, I was like, this is going to be great for my career. So For me, it's not about the location. It's about the experience. It's about the company. It's about the people that really sold this position for me.
Yeah, so you just got to take a trip out east. Like, you were hanging out with some big leagues out in the company you worked for. So, like, what was that like in that trip? Like, did you get to ask lots of questions? Was it cool being around people who were kind of high-end? What was that like for you?
It's just incredible to surround yourself with such like-minded, smart individuals who have been in your position. So just kind of learning from them about their experiences, how they've evolved, and not just about the industry, but also just personal cues and personal suggestions in terms of how I could build my career, right? So building that relationships have been immense because, you know, I don't think about relationships as a one-way street. It's got to be a two-way street. And, you know, as many people as you can connect with, somehow down the line in your future, you're going to connect with them somehow. So it's not about being, that's not about doing favors, but it's also about just having the connections in the future where you may need help with. And so, yeah, just meeting these people were awesome. It gave me a new opportunity to make an impact on the firm and just kind of show what I'm capable of. And so getting that face time with these executives was extremely beneficial.
I bet it was like really kind of earning respect for yourself too, like respecting yourself a bit more, being able to get around these guys and actually talk the talk, and then they actually see value in you and like call you up. So like even you just said you got a promotion. Congratulations on that. That's awesome.
We should, yeah.
So what would be like transitioning to the future? Like what would be, if 10 was the most, what would be a level 10 like for you?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Like if 10 was like the highest level of life that you could live, what would the level 10 life style look like for you?
Honestly, just keep challenging myself. You know, I personally believe in being at a job that not only do you like, but you're challenging yourself day in, day out. Because if you can be satisfied at a job, do things, you know, in a corporate environment, it's important not just to believe in yourself, but also make an impact on the firm. So challenging yourself day in, day out, presenting opportunities, having issues and overcoming those, and working as a team as opposed to individual contribution can go a long way. So for me, the level 10 and like really exceeding the expectations from, you know, the status quo is number 6.
Yeah.
You got to go above and beyond that. And, you know, it's something that they really appreciate that.
How about for you personally, like outside of work, like what's a level 10 lifestyle look for? Like is it travel? Is it being able to, you know, you say you just got to go back home to Thailand, so that's cool, you have the flexibility to do that. But like what would be a level 10 personal lifestyle for you?
Yeah, I think eventually down the line, having these experiences will really develop my industry knowledge. And so having a good work-life balance is definitely important. Right now, I don't have any commitments in terms of families and kids, but I know eventually that's what I want. And so having an environment where I could really grow my kids and have an environment where I could not just work hard, but also, you know, what my parents did for me, really grind out the first couple of years. The first 5 to 10 years is like solid foundation for yourself, which you can really build up, and providing those foundations back to your kids will be an extremely fruitful kind of situation. So I think it's about having a good work-life balance, perhaps starting something of my own in terms of small initiatives that, but again, I have restrictions right now being in a country where I'm restricted to only work for my employer in terms of income. So right now my focus is not income, but building that experience, learn as much as I can. And then, you know, outside of work, just, you know, having a good time right now. You know, we're sitting down here smoking some hookah and just talking about life. Right now, my favorite is gum mint.
Yeah.
You know, all these hookah favorites out there, you know, you gotta smoke gum mint. It's one of the top ones. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So, like, words of wisdom for people who are kind of in your status or category where you're coming to America, you're experiencing life, you can't really do entrepreneurial stuff yet. What would be, like, the words of wisdom that you would give? Now, how old are you now?
I'm 24.
24, so you have your whole
life. A long way to go.
You have your whole life ahead of you, but you've had some experience. You had some wisdom that most Americans haven't encountered. You're like third world person. Not third world in the sense of first, second, third, but, like, you had three kind of worldview experiences
where
you go from India. I know you were 3 months old, but you still have that as your culture. You speak Thai, but you speak really good English, too. So did you learn that in Thailand or...
Yeah, so I went to an American Christian school.
Okay, so
a lot of my professors were all fluent in English.
So
that's where I kind of adapted that.
Do you think in English then?
I do think in English.
So you dream in English?
Yeah, yeah.
So speaking to some of those people here in America, like, that would kind of not have the same kind of resources or someone like that, so if you were able to, like, mentor them for, like, words of wisdom, what would be some words of wisdom?
Put me in the spot here. I would say, so when I came to America, one of the things I had struggles was, you know, let's say if I find my first job, right? And so as a human beaver, you're never satisfied. You're always looking for the next big thing. And so one thing I've learned in my past and from my experiences, gotta live in the present, live in the moment, enjoy what you're doing right now, and you gotta trust in the process, right? Being from Philadelphia and falling Sixers, Joel Embiid keeps saying, gotta trust the process. I do have beef against Kawhi Leonard because of that shot in Game 7.
Right, okay.
But, you know, again, you got to trust in the process. You got to believe in yourself. Live in the present. And just all your short-term decisions should be focused on your long-term goal. So you got to guide yourself in a way where you got to have this big picture goal, thinking in the future, but you got to make the decision in the present. And so those goals, small little steps, right? You're not, for example, if you want to work out 7 days a week, right? Or 5 days a week. If your big goal is to, you know, be 240 pounds, bench press 350, it's not going to come overnight. It's small decisions you make every day that leads you to that endless goal that you have in long term. So I think it's important to break that long-term goal into smaller pieces, and that's what initially I had struggled with, because I also always think big, which is important, but how do you really get there? And so overnight results really doesn't come. It's a small, dedicated, little small decision that you take throughout your life that gets you to where you are 10 years, 15 years from today.
So what are you reading right now and why?
So my company's actually forced me to get two different certifications for insurance. And so one of them is for risk management, and the other one is a risk specialist in energy. So unfortunately, I wish I had more time to kind of read more books, but right now I'm stuck with getting my designation certification so I could progress into my career.
At least you're taking it seriously, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're really, you know, Brian is a great mentor in terms of also giving me that motivation to read, and that's what, you know, I really appreciate about you as well, where I've really, you know, the first couple of times where we've encountered, you really motivated me to read and make time out of your life. And I remember you saying that you sleep 5 hours a day, you have four jobs you do, you work 15, 16 hours a day, but you still make time to read, which is extremely, you know, that's successful in its own way, right? So you gotta prioritize what's important for you. Unfortunately, I haven't really gotten there yet where I can prioritize reading something else, but I know eventually that's something I wanna make this part of my life. You know, you have 24 hours a day. I probably work 8 to 10 hours a day. What am I doing for 14 hours, right? How many hours of sleep do I want? 6 hours. That gives me 8 hours a day to focus on myself. So it's all about decisions, and, you know, unfortunately right now I haven't had the time, but, you know, it's something I'm working on.
So how do you rest, not sleep, how do you rest? What those are codes that help you rest?
Right here.
Yeah.
Talking, yeah, just hanging out, having a conversation, playing board games, meeting new people. I think that's more exciting than, you know, just getting 9 or 10 hours of sleep or watching a movie. Obviously, I usually cap out my night with some meditation. So, you know, there's this app called Headspace, which allows you to kind of, it's a guided meditation where this individual really speaks to you, speaks to your soul, speaks to your body in terms of, you know, controlling your mind, but also controlling your body and how you think. And so it's really helped me to be peaceful when I'm in bed, clears my mind out. Because when I'm in bed, I usually have 10 things running across my mind, because you always think about the next day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm waking up, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I gotta, you know, run. I gotta work tedious tasks for my job tomorrow. So it's just nice to kind of cap it off. And so meditation has really helped me as well.
Thanks, Shabam. I think that's awesome. I just want to pick your brain. And so thanks for coming.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah,
appreciate it, Brian.
Good talking to you. All right.
Nice to meet you.
Good meeting you. All right.